peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 98. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. We have a whole bag of tricks to open up this time around for you. We've got a giveaway, a guest, a few new liners to debut, which is really fun. My old former morning show co-host, my old partner that you hear in the show intro, his deep voice, he was kind enough to lend his skills again. So I want to say thanks to my friend Dave Calloway, and you will know when you hear it. So that's coming up on the show today. Also, a winner. We're going to announce the recipient of the big giveaway, the Bible study, Walking with Purpose. Lots of your feedback, too. And an interview with the one and only Britt Fisk. And she's a blogger at The Fisk Files, someone I've admired for a long time, a photographer. And a very honest conversation, sort of a Socratic philosophical debate, but also practical, too, about the temptations of technology, the necessity of silence, and trying to bridge those two things. It was a TED Talk that I was watching recently that I thought was really interesting. Cal Newport. He's the author of the book Deep Work, and I've referenced that book before, but he was laying out the case when I was watching this for why to quit social media. And he touched on a tactic that the big tech companies strategize to basically make you addicted. Attention engineers is the job description. Attention engineers. So it's their job to grab your time, capture your data, keep you coming back. And we know that teens are an easy target for that. But I also think women, because we thrive on relationships and on community. So I think the topic merits a good hard look. So we've got different people sharing their stories. I'm going to get real and tell you some of the struggles that I've had, which you already know about anyway. But that's all coming up on the program. And it was inspired in part by the new book from Cardinal Robert Serra. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise. And so we'll unpack some of those nuggets in that new book. And I also want to tell you, actually, a big preview ahead of time, looking down the road. The next two episodes, I do not want you to miss, because we've got a couple very special things. In the 99th episode, Father Nathan Cromley is going to be back talking about another elusive quality, and that's patience. And he is always inspiring. So he'll be back with a Padre in your pocket. And then in episode 100, we're going to roll out something that I think with my heart is going to change the life of a family forever, a significant impact. I don't say that lightly. So I want you to be a part of it. You have an opportunity to share in that. And I'll explain. It's a lot coming up. That'll be on episode number 100. So the next two, I don't want you to miss it. So let's jump in, shall we, as we prepare to observe Memorial Day. This is the focus of our prayer as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God of power and mercy, we ask that you keep in your mercy the men and women who have died in the cause of freedom. Bring them safely into your kingdom of justice and peace. We pray for those with post-traumatic stress, for the souls of those who have taken their own lives in the aftermath of serving our nation, for those who live on but carry the wounds of war in their mind, and for those who are serving now along with their families and the sacrifices they make. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting. Big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Okay, well, that's a brand new intro there. Thanks to the talent of my friend, Dave Calloway, and Mark, my wonderful producer, for putting the music bed behind it. I literally wrote that in about 3 minutes, which you can kind of tell, because I was trying to match up the cadence to the syllables and the original song, but he did a great job. So there you go. And it's all to introduce a feature that we talked about a couple times over the years on the show. But last week in particular, I introduced you to a new find. I was excited to share these running shoes. The brand is Hoka, and I spilled the beans. You can catch on episode 97 all about that. But Abby was inspired to share her favorite thing, and she left a Voxer message feedback. We love that. So Abby, take it away.
My favorite thing right now is this hair powder, and it has changed my life. Because I like have started trying to do the dry shampoo thing. Like I take a shower every day. I don't wash my hair every day because it's this big thing. And I found this, it's hair powder. I think it's called Thermafuse. I'll send you a picture. And oh my gosh, it is the best thing in the whole world. And I have real like light blonde hair like you do. And I have the mocha color just because I have like dark roots sometimes, and it is amazing. Like it makes my hair, it is just the best thing ever. So it may be the best thing ever for you too.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
Yep, so it's that easy. That is how Abby chimed in. And Abby, just so you know, I already put that powder on my Amazon list. It's like $8. So thank you for that tip. And of course, your emails are valued as well. Another to add to the favorite things list, I think, is the brand new book by Cardinal Robert Sarah. It's called The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise. And I have been waiting for this book. And his words, I think, for all of us are like water in a parched desert. He calls silence more important than any other human work. And the widespread illness in our modern Western culture, which is namely a crisis of faith, a lack of belief in God, that he says is caused in part by an absence of truth-revealing periods of silence. He says he also talks about silence of the eyes, silence of the heart and of the ears. So I just want to read a brief excerpt as we get into this topic and then eventually want to introduce you to our guest on the program today, Britt. And I want to see if you relate and agree to any of what he shares. Cardinal Sarah writes this: "Our world no longer hears God because it is constantly speaking at a devastating speed and volume in order to say nothing. Modern civilization does not know how to be quiet. It holds forth in unending monologue. Postmodern society rejects the past and looks at the present as a cheap consumer object. It pictures the future in terms of an almost obsessive progress. Its dream, which has become a sad reality, will have been to lock silence away in a deep, dark dungeon. Thus, there is a dictatorship of speech, a dictatorship of verbal emphasis. In this theater of shadows, nothing is left but a purulent wound of mechanical words without perspective, without truth, and without foundation. Quite often, truth is nothing more than the pure and misleading creation of the media, corroborated by fabricated images and testimonies. When that happens, the word of God fades away, inaccessible and inaudible. Postmodernity is an ongoing offense and aggression against the divine silence. From morning to evening, evening to morning, silence no longer has any place at all. The noise tries to prevent God himself from speaking. In this hell of noise, man disintegrates and is lost. He is broken up into countless worries, fantasies, and fears. In order to get out of these depressing tunnels, he desperately awaits noise, so it will bring him a few consolations. Noise is a deceptive, addictive, and false tranquilizer." Wow. Just want to let that rest in the air for a minute. And as someone who speaks for a living, obviously that convicts me pretty strongly as I look at myself in the mirror and how guilty I am of perpetuating that. And it got me thinking about my friend Ruth. Ruthie is a blogger. I've known her for years in Christian ministry. Basically gave up all social media in January. Now, keep in mind, this is a woman that has really created networks and friends and connections through social media. And I think it's hard enough for the average person to detach from it, but especially if you do have some sort of public profile that you maintain. And it's something I struggle with all the time. If you are a longtime listener, you know this very well. This topic keeps surfacing over and over. And I think it's because it's relevant, as Cardinal Sarah points out, and he puts into words what I think so often we feel in our heart. So I asked Ruthie about her decision to silence her eyes and close off the glow from her devices, because she's been able to stick with it for months now. And she was kind enough to share a few of her takeaways, her experiences with us. So I want you to take a listen. Here's Ruthie in South Carolina.
Hey, Brooke. So for me, the reason that I got off initially was because of the Daniel fast and just like cutting every distraction out, really trying to focus on God and listening to his voice. And I really felt like he, at that point, was telling me, like, look, like, you need to focus on me and on your family. And that's it. And then, like, all hell broke loose, like, in terms of just, you know, different health issues with the family. And just, oh, gosh, just felt like every week there was something new. And I was like, oh, my Lord. So I kind of understood it, you know, like why I needed to cut things off just so that I could really be intentional and give the attention that I needed to my kids and my husband and make sure they were getting what they needed from their doctors and therapists and things like that. So so that was initially like where it stemmed from. So I gave it a rest after that. I deleted everything off of my phone, all the social media stuff. So Instagram, and really it was just Instagram and Facebook or my big like social media vices. So got rid of those. And then actually what ended up happening and why I've posted a couple times in the last couple of months is because I realized that through my Bible app of all apps, I could get to my Facebook profile, and it's not as like clear and nice as like a, like your Facebook app, but I could still get on there. So, so that's why you've seen a couple of posts, but I kind of love that it's through my Bible app, because I'm always like reminded about the Word of God as I'm going on Facebook. Because the other thing that I realized very quickly was that Facebook made me into a person I didn't want to be, you know, but all of that social media, it makes me very judgmental. I'm like looking at people's lives and I'm either coveting or I'm judging, you know, both sinful. So that's sort of been the motivation behind staying off of social media, is just like, I don't like the way that I act, you know, and it's not even like an action where I'm like responding to people and telling them my thoughts, but just even internally what's going on in my mind and my heart as I'm reading people's statuses or whatnot. So that's sort of where it stems from and why I've decided to stay off of it. In terms of if I miss it, I do. I'm not going to lie. I just miss kind of knowing what's going on in my friends' lives, you know, and seeing pictures of their kids, like people that I am really, really invested in, and our friendships run much deeper than, I hate to say, like superficial, you know, social media stuff. I feel like they've even grown deeper, because it's not just a quick check-in, but it's a, like, for real check-in, you know, when I talk to them, because I don't know what's going on. So it's like, okay, catch me up. And this is what's going on in my life. And we've got to do what we think is best for us, you know, and for our families and whatever.
I think so many people can relate to every word of that. Thank you, Ruthie. And I'm also excited to welcome a guest on the program today to talk more about this now. Well, our guest on the program today is a woman whom I have long admired for many reasons, and I know so many listening share the same admiration. Her heart, her eye for beauty, the tender way she expresses marriage and motherhood and faith and ranching, and she blogs at thefiskfiles.com. So honored to welcome Britt Fisk to the program today. Hello, Britt.
Hi, Brooke. I just love being here. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
It's exciting, and we have so much to talk about. But first, for those that don't know, could you just tell us a little about yourself?
Sure. Of course, my name's Britt, and I am married to Jeremy. I've been married to him for almost 8 years, and we have 6 children, our oldest, who will be 7 in a couple weeks, and our youngest, who will be 5 months. And we spend our days in the northeastern part of New Mexico, where I was born and raised, and we raise beef cattle for a living. I homeschool the kids, we raise cattle, and we live a pretty simple life in the grand scheme of things.
I looked at your about page because I know there's so much to your bio, and I just pulled a snippet too, because in addition to that, kind of the lead up, it says, and I knew this, but it says, as a family, we have served our country for 8 years, worked for the President of the United States, completed a tour in Iraq, earned 2 master's degrees, become Catholic, and entered the journey of life called parenthood. Plus, yes, now ranching. So you've been busy.
We have. It almost seems like part of that bio's you know, it's just not something that's an immediate part of our life right now. So it's kind of funny when you bring it back up. It's like, oh yeah, we did different things too.
Yeah.
But we're so immersed with this right now that that's kind of a thing of the past. But
well, I see it though in the richness of you as a photographer, bringing forth the story of your life, the journey of your family, the way that you write, all these experiences that unfold to your readers in your blog. And that's what's so interesting. That has what is, I think, led to such a great following. But it's also then, I think, for many of us that are immersed to some degree in social media, created this kind of drama of conscience where we're struggling to unplug. And that's really front and center the topic of our show today that we want to talk about. And you have an article on your site. It's called To Know Thyself. It's a beautiful blog post that speaks about this intimately. And you kind of lead it up with your fast of technology during Lent and where that brought you today. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's one of those things that I feel is so difficult because, like you mentioned, I started blogging and it gathered this following, and it's not a huge following, but I connected with women across the country who were in the same position, who were moms, who were wanting to be moms, developed such a strong connection with women that I don't personally know. And so one thing led to another, and I started by blogging, then I jumped on Instagram, and I found myself constantly being on my phone. And yes, so much a part of it was the connection. But then I started following people that I didn't necessarily know through my blog. And one thing led to another, and here I am throughout my days being connected to this small device that I didn't realize at first had such a hold on me. And so, of course, the 40 days of Lent, I tried to stay off of it. I didn't make it a firm announcement that I was getting off social media, but I just wanted to test the waters because there'd been a nudge on my heart to let some of this go, and I didn't know how. So I just started paying more attention to it. And come to find out, I would be talking to my kids, and I couldn't even get through a conversation without grabbing my phone real quick just to see if somebody had liked a new photo that I had posted on Instagram or to see if somebody had commented. And it wasn't that I was jumping on to comment right back and continue a conversation. It had become something that I just wanted to see if I had received any affirmation. And I couldn't get through 10 to 15 minutes without just quickly checking it. But what I didn't realize was in quickly, per se, checking it, I was timing out of the conversations I was having with my children, with my husband, my daily workings, whether it was reading a book or doing something with the cattle. I wasn't there. I'd find myself having conversations with my husband and he would say, "I thought I told you that."
Wow, and
he had. He had. And I just wasn't all there. I wasn't present where I needed to be present. So that's how it all started.
There's an excerpt that really hit me in which you say, "Why can't I find time to pray more than at meals and evenings and the rosary a few times a week? Why don't I read more than one or two books a year? It isn't because I have six kids, six and under. It isn't because I have to make and clean up three meals a day. It isn't because I have to answer a million questions at once, because that's the life of a mom and it's not anything out of the ordinary. It's because I cannot get through 15 minutes of life without entering my four-digit passcode to unlock a world of affirmation, comparison, and general unrest." And you go on to say, "I allow myself to be filled up by a world that isn't even my own. I don't have enough time to open on his word because I'm too busy reading theirs." And boy, I just think so many people can relate to those words. And you conclude the piece by saying, "It isn't that communication I'm trying to get away from, just finally admitting that I cannot put it all in its proper place." And I think that's the million-dollar question. How do we determine when and how to put this very fluid, fast-moving virtual world in its proper place, because it never stops?
Right.
I mean, has that been a challenge? Because when you do maintain a blog and you are fostering real relationships, you are building genuine connections with other women who are isolated. So is that a hard aspect, because you don't want to feel like you are abandoning them?
It so is, because I'm on the other end of that too. I go and read blogs because I'm seeking that relationship as well. And I feel like motherhood or life in general can just be lonely sometimes. So this has taken that place, and I'm still completely honestly trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I've taken Facebook off my phone, but I've since realized I can't maintain a blog Facebook page or a photography Facebook page without my personal profile. So I'm trying to figure that out on the computer. So I've decided to maintain my blog. And if people would like to comment, my gosh, I love emailing back and forth. But it's just, it's harder for me to come get at my computer and sit down and type those things out versus just constantly holding my phone. So I, for now, that's my first step, is just removing it from my phone. I'm at the end of this little photo album that I have on Instagram. That's a lot of the reason I started Instagram. But when this final one is completed, I'll remove it from my phone too. But I tell you, it's not something that I just went, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this today and I'm going to remove everything and all will be well.
Right.
I'm struggling. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the great aspects along with the ones that were hard for me.
Well, I feel like in some ways it's like having a food addiction, because I don't want to compare social media to food. It's not like we need it to.
No, but it's true.
You know,
it's
the
true.
Choices that we make, it's hard to cut off one thing and not. It's the same thing. Like, I'll find myself, now that I'm a stay-home mom, in the pantry, and I have to ask myself, why am I here? What am I doing right now? And it's kind of the same thing when I'm logging on now to whatever social media platform it might be. I have to ask myself that question. What is my purpose? What am I doing? Is this something that's just going to be like junk food, or is it serving a purpose?
Right.
And it's a constant question. And you had a lot of comments on this particular post. I think it was Barbara Lee, one of them, that said, one of my greatest regrets, you know, speaking as a mom who's raised children, she said, was that I sought affirmation from my job or other people and not as much from my own children. And that really struck me. Have you heard from a lot of people who are relating to what you're experiencing?
I have. I really have. And most of the comments I received were people saying they felt the same thing. Funny fact, Barbara Lee was my high school English teacher. So as a different perspective, she was doing such great things with so many kids in high school and, you know, people that didn't necessarily have that relationship at home, she was that person for them. So she was seeking affirmation from people. She was helping tremendously. So there again, there just lies such a fine balance in it all.
You know, there's a Mercy Me song that I love, and it says, "Word of God speak," and it talks about how the last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. And I think that's so true, because a big focus of this particular program is that new book by Cardinal Robert Serra, The Power of Silence. And he talks about that in our quest for noise, we have assassinated God because we can't, just powerful, strong, stinging words. But the reality that there's this noise even in our own heads all the time. And through that, we cannot hear God speak to us in the stillness. Be still and know that I am God. I mean, that's so foundational.
Right.
So for you, have you taken some concrete steps? You talked about deleting your app. Anything additional that's helped you with that?
You know, every time that I think, oh, I'm not going to do this, it's not worth it, I'm fine with all of this stuff, I can handle it, that exact thing comes back. I sit there and I go, when is the last time I prayed? I run around like a chicken with my head cut off. But what happens if I turn all this off? What will happen? So I've noticed I start my day now with a rosary. And before anybody thinks anything too highly of that, sometimes it's me putting it on the radio and listening to it as my kids are asking me a million questions too. I don't necessarily always have the time for that 20 minutes of silent, powerful meditation, but I'm making sure to get it done. At 3 o'clock, I've set an alarm on my phone to do the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, because by doing that, this little buzzing goes off at 3 p.m. and I sit there and I go, do I have time for this? Do I have time for 10 minutes? And if I don't, why not? Because once I started noticing my social media time, it was so much more than 10 minutes a day. But I was frantic. I was feeling like there was not enough time to get everything I needed to get done during the day. But I really do have the time. I have the opportunity to make the time for the things I want to make time for. And I didn't even realize how much was missing in my relationship with God, because like he says in that article, because of all the noise.
Right. It's funny because, and you'll appreciate this, I was looking at the life of a woman in colonial America and what her day would be like. And it talked about how early she would rise and everything from the mending to she would be the butcher of the home.
Oh, my.
And all the things that manual labor need to occur from the laundry, which was not the washing machine that we have today, these long days. And it's such a different world. We do now, because of these conveniences, seem to have this extra time. But even you living on a ranch, homeschooling, having six kiddos and a baby, there's that quote about show me what you love and I'll show me what you spend your time on. And that's what you love. That alarm is a great idea. So it's rosary in the morning, 3 o'clock Divine Mercy. And then at night, do you just put it away?
I have more time to actually sit and visit with my husband, you know, and put the device down. So I'm actually, this sounds so silly, but looking at him when he's talking to me and taking it all in instead of being constantly distracted.
Yeah.
But the thing that's important for me too, Brooke, is I know this about myself, and whether it's good or not, I've always thought that my worth was a little bit tied to my productivity. But the beginning nudging was to stop all of this so I'd have more time for him. So I have to constantly remind myself that it is okay to not be doing something, that it's okay to sit there for a second and just ask him to guide me.
There's a book that I love. It's called Deep Work, and we'll get into it a little bit later in the show. But I talked about it last year, and it really was transformative to me because I am a traditional shallow work offender, that so much of the work that I do is in the shallow part of my brain, because it is, just like you said, being distracted and multitasking, which really isn't good because you can't drill down and work, get that gray matter going and work in a cerebral level for very long. And it's like you said with your husband asking, don't you remember I told you that? I've started thinking there's something wrong with my memory, but it's because I was never really there in the first place paying attention.
Right. Yes.
Well, thank you for the time and getting up early.
Thanks, Brooke. Oh, gosh, it was so wonderful. Thanks for such a great start to my day.
I have to tell you that you, at least in theory, live like my dream life, because my husband and I always say, we're going to give it up and go ranch out west in a big, you know, Louis L'Amour book. And you really lived that. And especially with your husband serving in the military and then bringing you to New Mexico. What is your day like? I mean, it's so different, I think, than many parts of the country and people listening.
Right. So we get up around six, and sometimes little Henry wakes us up about four instead. But the majority of the cattle work right now is my husband's. We can't get all six kids out to do it all, but sometimes he'll take the older ones. And in the season we are right now, the days spent going to check the cows to see if they're doing okay with their babies, if they're having trouble having a baby. And we even go so far as to help deliver calves if the cows can't do it on their own. And then, of course, the daily maintenance of keeping the fences up and keeping the horses fed and things along that line.
So you have cattle and horses and chickens?
We do, yes. And the chickens are just kind of a fun hobby. We've learned a lot about it in the last year or so. But I grew up raising cattle. My husband had no ag background. So that's just a little snippet to where anybody can do it if they really want to. But we came back to where I was raised and where generations past of my family have grown up and done the same thing. So been a part of my life.
Do you see God in that, in the nature and the dirt and the manure and just the organic earth that you're surrounded by?
I do. But there again, it's all I knew. Like you said, it's hard not to see God when you walk out your door and can't see another home for miles. It's hard not to see him in the bringing about of new life. And it's a seasonal thing. It happens every year. And it's pretty amazing that you get to see these cows have their babies and raise them. And then all of a sudden it's time for them to go. And you get a little bit attached in the sense of how it reflects your life.
What do you mean go? Do you mean go as in go to the table?
No. Luckily, we're not at that stage. The cows have their babies right around now, early spring.
Okay.
And by November, we're weaning those babies so that we can ship them to what you would call the middleman or the stalker operation, where then they just take the babies and grow them until it's time for the final product. But for us, it's just raising the babies until they have to be weaned, because a new baby's coming in a few months. So it's just such a beautiful cycle of life.
Yeah.
And yes, it's messy. And yes, it's very difficult work. It's not always what is portrayed in the movies, but
yeah,
it's an opportunity to provide a much simpler life for my children, and I'm glad we have the opportunity to do it. Well, I'm thankful for it.
All of that, though, I'm just listening to mm-hmm. your daily schedule. Your spiritual edification, are you involved in your church? I mean, I'm just wondering, or is it really, does it have to come from your family? I saw you guys making rosaries. Do you right. have like a women's group or support system, or has it really been this online community for you?
You know, it has. And that's, we don't have an active women's group. And so, yes, that's what I was seeking online, basically. And I don't think I'm going to lose that with my blog. Yeah. So that's always my consolation. And we can connect via email or text or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and I think too the idea of the cloistered home, and you've right. really developed that, this monastic domestic flower that you have this foundation with your husband and your family, and that portal, if you want to reach the world, but knowing when pride's taking hold and when you need to detach. And I think that's for all of us, just in every vice. You know, I was talking to a girlfriend, it's been a year since I've gone to Target, which might sound laughable.
Good for
and silly.
You.
But
no,
I have. When we lived, my husband was in Fort Bragg and we were in the Army. He was in the Army, but we
oh
lived
my gosh.
Right behind a Target, and we had an apartment. I mean, I went like 3 or 4 times a week. And from that point right. on, that was 15 years ago. I think a lot of people do the same thing because Target is kind of an outlet. It's not just shopping.
It is. It
but
is.
I have to say, it's really, I don't want to use the word transformed my life. I don't want to be dramatic, but in some ways it has, because I'm more deliberate about where I spend my money. I don't just go and buy things that I don't really need as much, because
right.
we have a Walmart, but I'm in and out of there. That's not a place
right.
I usually just go and browse for hours. And so I think it's about little changes, and whether it's the way that we incorporate more prayers or we try mm-hmm. to be more self-disciplined with our diet, that it's right. all just step by step, minute by minute, through God's grace. And you're an inspiration. So thank you for sharing.
Oh my
that.
Gosh.
And your
well,
honesty.
Thanks. And I will have to tell you, that is one of my favorite podcasts of yours. It hit so hard, and I passed it on to so many people. And like you said, I feel a little bit silly even talking about social media, to say that this tiny little thing is a problem, or going to Target, or you're just like, really? Would my great-grandmother be laughing today if she saw what I was struggling with? But it is. It is yeah. a struggle in our own personal lives. And I applaud you for doing that. And like I said, that was a very powerful podcast for me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think in every generation, they have their thing. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about when TV first came into the scene, and women
sure.
would watch soap operas all the time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Because my grandma, she had to watch her stories.
Exactly.
And as we look, it's always the perspective of time. My dad had no idea as a young man that when he was smoking, it was going to eventually take his life. And it's mm-hmm. always something to look back and say, if I would have only known. But I think that's what's beautiful about always stepping back and examining our conscience and seeking God for the wisdom that we can't immediately know. So thank you so much again.
Oh, thank you, Brooke.
How can people find you and get in touch with you?
Honestly, the blog's the best place, at www.thefiskfiles.com. And then all my contact information is there. And I welcome email. I'm going to miss that conversation yeah. with others. And I don't want to let that go. So that'd be it. That would be the best way.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your heart.
Thank you, Brooke. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you again to Britt for the time. And the book I referenced, by the way, in our interview is Deep Work by Cal Newport. An episode from last year entitled The Grand Gesture really unpacks this book in a lot more depth, but I got it about a year ago. But what I like about it is he lays out a blueprint for embracing silence and using technology to serve us and not the other way around. Because let's face it, I think in this conversation and really trying to roll over and examine it all, we can't really, I think at least for a lot of us, we can't just sever it from our lives. We check the weather, we check our email. I do voice work for a living, so I might receive an email and I need to do a turnaround within 48 hours. So I've got to have it at least somewhere in the foreground of my life. It's about using it well and responsibly, and I think that's what it comes down to. And so that's what Cal Newport really digs into in this book, Deep Work. But he also gives us a few different roadmaps to follow to get to a place where we can work efficiently intelligently and deeply. And it takes a while to enter a stage for our brain to re-enter concentration where we can hear God, where we can be present to that moment. And he gives us a couple different tactics to try. And I really recommend the book if you don't have it already. It's called Deep Work by Cal Newport. And as we wrap up the show, of course, we have to pull a name and announce our winner in the Walking with Purpose giveaway. This is a big, big deal. Again, a big thank you to Lisa Daly in Colorado for the inspiration of the idea, for the willingness to say, I want to give this to a listener and actually initiate this Bible study throughout the country. So our random generator, here we go, as we pull a winner, we pick a name. Our winner is Colette Higgins from Kanaohe, Hawaii. Oh, Colette, did I say that right? Kanaohe, Hawaii. Aloha. Colette, congratulations. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you especially, truly, to every one of you who took the time to enter the contest. And it was a blessing and a joy to be able to hear from so many of you. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you to Abby, Ruth, Britt, everyone who took the time to be a part of today's program. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. For any of your production needs, you can reach out to him at cumminghomestudio.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us a positive review on iTunes. It would help us out. And also consider becoming a Podbean patron like Tanya and Tracy and Ken and Vicky and Ann and Jenny and so many of our very faithful good friends to the program who help keep this little show on the road going strong. No amount is too small. You can give $1 a month. No amount is too large. You can give $50 a month. We are grateful for everything. Just click Become a Patron in the show notes. You can also log on to podbean.com and search for Good Things Radio. May we have the courage to be still, to hear the voice of God, and embrace his call in the silence. Until next time, friends, peace and love. God bless you.